By the grace of God, we will be looking at this topic called supernatural shifts in times and seasons. And I know it might be difficult if you're coming from where there's a problem of S and H. You might say supernatural shifts. So it's basically supernatural shifts in times and seasons. And basically, it's just a message that has been on my heart, I think, as we continued meditating on understanding times and seasons, God giving us a discerning heart to discern times and seasons. And basically, in our last teaching, we looked at Kairos. We were trying to understand Kairos, which we said Kairos is an opportune moment that God has prepared for everyone. They can come individually to a time where they have an opportunity to change, or they have an opportunity to prosper, or they have an opportunity to reap in the law of seed and harvest. Now, when we speak of supernatural shifts, and ideally, just to define it, I will say supernatural shifts are significant changes in times and seasons that are authored by God, and by which the world, and here by the world we mean cosmos, and this refers to the times of men and the seasons of men, where we enter into new times and seasons. So when we speak of a supernatural shift, we are speaking of a global event, or rather it's an occurrence that does not just affect one person, like in Kairos. You know, when we speak of Kairos, we speak of an opportune moment that comes to you as a person. But when we speak of a supernatural shift, we speak of a transition in seasons or in times. Remember, when we think of times, we think of times in terms of sequence, that is chronological or chronos or sequential time. But we also think of time in terms of kairos, opportune moments. But we should also think of times in terms of seasons, where it's a group of time or a dispensation of time, where there's a bigger picture, and then there are times where God shifts times and seasons of men. And in this time, this is where we call there supernatural shifts that happen. So as I said, they are often global, and they affect a large group of people at the same time. And one of the things that we'll realize is that supernatural shifts are not common. That means at times they can take years to come, they can take decades to come, at times they can take centuries to happen. But when they do, they alter the fate of history. They alter the perceptions of people at that time. They alter, you know, how processes are done. They bring in either discoveries, people change, people shift. The mindset is shifted in that time. And thus, we must know that they are not really common, but there is a way that we can say in our time there has been a faster shifting in seasons that is happening. Now, someone can also refer to supernatural shifts as dispensational shifts. And this is where, when you speak of a dispensation, think of the dispensation of the law, where everything was about what you do, and then Jesus comes and brings in the dispensation of grace. And then now it is not about what we do, but about what Christ have done. And in science, there's this word that is called a quantum leap, or quantum leap, which is where it shows like a significant change, maybe in a resting state, like an atom would have a resting state. And then all of a sudden, there's a sudden increase or explosion of power, or that leaps it from one level to another. And this is often marked, you know, with significant changes that alter, you know, the shape of that atom or the energy of that atom. So now when we're learning about supernatural shifts, it's just to have the understanding of when does such big things happen, and also what brings about such, and also what is our response when such things occur. And we're also going to look at biblical examples where we'll see where such supernatural shifts happened, and we can draw some lessons from them. So we'll start with, I know there are many in the scripture, so I picked a few. So we'll start with Pharaoh and Joseph. And I think this is a common story. And when we read in Genesis 41, chapter 41, the Bible tells us that it came to pass, verse 1, that at the end of the two full years, and this that was after, you know, the cupbearer had been released from the prison, and Joseph was still in prison. Remember, he had been forgotten for a period of 2 years. The Bible says that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river, and suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the middle. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river, and the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamt a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them, and the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men, and Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Now, in jumping on to verse 28, the Bible tells us that eventually the cupbearer found out, remembered Joseph, and he sent for Joseph, and then Joseph came and he gave the king the interpretation. We'll read from verse 28. It says, "This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh by that what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following it, for it will be very severe." And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because this thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years, and let them gather all the food, all those good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine." So what we can see is that there was a shift that was happening. God already knew that there was going to be 7 years of plenty, and then after these 7 years of plenty, there is going to be 7 years of famine. Now, he needs to rescue his people. Now, it is not that the Egyptians are his people. The people that God wanted to rescue are the Israelites. But he knew that this famine is not only going to affect the whole world, but also his people are also going to be affected. Now, God was aware that there is a significant shift that is happening. A significant shift is taking place, is going to take place, and he needs to prepare his people and needs to prepare his children that they are not in trouble. So what were the results of preparation? The Bible tells us in Genesis 41 that Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now in the 7 plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the flood, the food of the fields which surrounded them. And Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea, until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. Can you imagine that? They knew that they were going to have 7 years of plenty. And through interpretation, and the Pharaoh said, there's no one who is as wise and as discerning as you. So you take it over, and Joseph now starts to give Pharaoh the blueprint, and he tells him, we are going for these 7 years, we are going to take up 20%, a fifth of all the produce, and we are going to store it up. So now it is like they are preparing for that, and now they started to do that. They were accounting for it until a point where it was too much that they stopped counting. That means the 7 years of abundance was so much that it was enough for them. Now what happens in verse 53 of Genesis 41? The Bible says, then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended. So that is telling us that we might be in seasons of blessings, or in seasons where there is an abundance, or in seasons where, you know, where we are working, or where, you know, I mean, like, even if you think of, you know, retirement age and things like that, these are seasons of blessings. These are seasons when you have the strength. But you see, a time comes where there is a time when that, either that flow ends or that age reaches, and there is a need for preparation. Now, what we can see is that Joseph, through the help and the wisdom of God, was able to discern the dream that God had revealed to Pharaoh, and they were able to prepare for it. Now, the Bible tells us that the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in all lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. That means that when God has prepared you for a seasonal shift or a supernatural shift, there can be hunger everywhere, but because God had prepared you and you had made yourself ready for that shift, then you find that you are not in trouble because there is bread. Now, the verse 55 says, so when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, whatever he says to you, do. The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouse and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all the countries came to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all the lands. And later we see that even the children of Israel come. What are some of the key things that we're learning about the supernatural shifts in the times and season? That God had already ordained and established that there is going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. So whenever we say there's a significant shift or a supernatural shift, we know that this is something that is preordained by God, that whether we like it or not, it is going to come. Now we have a responsibility to be in the place where we can hear God so that he can warn us in advance of such things that are happening. Now, God revealed his plan to Pharaoh. Was it important that God revealed it to Joseph? I don't think so. Why? Because Joseph at that point was in prison, and there was nothing that he could do about it. But you see, this is why we keep saying that there is a reason why God raises us to places of influence. Why? Because when you have influence, then you are able to establish the purposes of God in that area of influence. Now you see, we are Revelation 1 verse 6 says that he has bought for himself, he has purchased for himself kings and priests unto our God. That means that God gives us not only a kingly function, which is where we exercise dominion in our spheres of influence, whether it is in business, whether it is in the marketplace, whether it is in teaching, whether it is in whatever leadership that God gives us. And then also there is also our priestly function that God also expects that we do. Now you'll find there are people who focus mostly on their kingly and they neglect their priestly. And then there are those who only focus on their priestly and they neglect their kingly. Now, if you realize that both need to go together, because Christ is not only king, but he's also a high priest, that tells us that if we are to go with the Christ anointing, then we need to have influence. Now, if Joseph was already in a place of influence, then the dream would have come to him. But you see, because it is Pharaoh that had the influence at that point, then the dream has to come to Pharaoh. That means that God does not limit himself to whom he reveals or he brings what he is bringing on the earth, especially if the believers are not ready. When the believers are ready, then God is able to now shift that influence to them, or shift the steering of those responsibilities for that season to them, because now the believers are ready. Now, this is a principle that you will learn, that as a believer, you need to know that God has prepared these places for us. The Bible tells us that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. It is our responsibility as believers to know that the influence, the kingdom, belongs to us. We have a responsibility to make a difference. But until we are ready, God will never allow those places to be empty. Now, God used Joseph, and the Bible calls him a prophet, to interpret the dream. Why? Because he was able to bring a message from God. He was able to have a dream, and he had a wise and a designing heart. Now, whenever, especially for us who are in the marketplace, one of the things that you must always ask God is to give you a wise and designing heart. And this is what Solomon asked God, because he said that, God, I am too young and these people are too mighty. Give me a wise and a designing heart that I will govern your people justly. Now, if we keep praying for wisdom and discernment, wisdom will tell us what to do. Discernment will help us to see through the deceptions of men, see through the wickedness of men, but also to sense the shifts that are coming and to lay a roadmap. Now, you see, because Joseph was given the grace by God to interpret the dream and also the wisdom to know what to do, that means we must not only just know that a shift is about to take place, but we must also ask God and know what we need to do at that time. So by him having a wise and a designing heart, he was able to lay a roadmap that saved the entire world, including his family. So as I've said before, supernatural shifts are bound to come as God has established them. It was a matter firmly decided by God. That's why the dream came twice. And the Bible tells us that if you go to the ant, you will see how the ant prepares for winter. The ant, every time in summer, it gathers its food. Why? Because it prepares for winter. So we have a responsibility to prepare for shifts that will come. And one of the things that we see is that the Bible tells us, Amos 3:7, that surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. When God wanted to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, can I hide this thing from my friend Abraham? Because he is going to be a great man. You can see how God, even with himself, he is like, how can I hide this thing from Abraham? Because I have chosen him, because he will teach his children and his children after him my ways. So God is always eager to reveal his plans to his intimates. Ideally, those that have developed a level of intimacy and have cultivated intimacy with God will always find that God is ready to reveal to them what he's about to take place. And you see, some of the things that God will say might not make sense to people. You know, like you could have gone through this year, and I was just reflecting with a brother yesterday, and we're saying, can you imagine all that God has done up to the month of May already? It feels like this is an entire year that has already been achieved in 5 months. Now, that is to tell us that if God has done so much in a short period, that means that he is telling us that you can be ready to also experience more, as if you can do more in the same year, given the time, if you're sensitive, if you're ready, and if you discern the times and seasons. Now, let us look at another example, the Israelites in Egypt, where there was also a supernatural shift. Now, the Bible tells us that Exodus 1 verse 8, that now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And when he said to the people, look, the people of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and make it happen, and in the event of war, that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they build for Pharaoh's supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. That means they harassed them. They set taskmasters over them. Remember, they even killed their children. They asked the midwives to kill the boys. They even asked the boys to be thrown into the water. Now, the Israelites were enjoying time in Egypt. They were given the best of the place. They were given Goshen, where they would have so much water, they'd have so much pasture. But you see, a king arose that did not know Joseph. At times there are shifts in leadership that people come and who have no idea who you are, and they don't care. But you see, that can be an indicator that there is a shift in your time and season. And if you're sensitive to it, then you can ask God for the wisdom to know what you need to do. Now, there's things that, and one of the things that you will see, trouble sometimes signifies shifts in seasons. And there are certain times where it gets very hard before it actually breaks forth. It's just like thinking of the point of delivery. When a mother is just about to deliver, that is when the pangs of birth are the hardest. That's when the contractions are the most, and that is where it is most painful. Now, Exodus 2 verse 23 tells us, "Now it happened in the process of the time that the king of Egypt died, then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. And he looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them." One of the things that when you look at the scriptures, you will find that God had already told Abraham that your children, your descendants are going to be foreigners in a foreign land for 400 years. And at the end of that period, I am going to bring them out. Now, when you see that the time that now the God brings this burdens to them, ideally it is around the 390th year. Now, towards that, and that's the time around when Moses is just reaching his 40 years. Now, God was expecting that by the 400th year, these guys will shift. They will shift out of Egypt and go into their inheritance. But one of the things that you realize is that because Moses was not ready, and he took, you know, the Bible tells us that he sensed that it came to him that he needs to go and see his brothers. That means that God placed that demand in him that it is time for you to do something. So he thought that he can rescue the Israelites using his hands, but he missed that. And by him missing that, he went into the wilderness for 40 years. And the Bible tells us that the children of Israel, the day they left Egypt, they left at 430 years. Now, does that tell you that God was inaccurate? No, God was very accurate. But you see, God would rather delay his work if the man of God is not ready, because at that point it is necessary that his servant is ready. And that is why I always say that our unbelief and our sin can delay our entering into our kairos. But now we are looking at shifts. We are looking at big picture. We are looking at bigger things. And so we are seeing that the children of Israel, now they are going through trouble. They are groaning. They cry out to God, and God remembers, "Oh yes, I have a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And so what does God do? He sends Moses, and he finds Moses. He finds him in the wilderness after another 40 years of Moses taking care of sheep. He calls him out of the burning bush. And the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 3, verse 4 to 10. "So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover,' he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard the cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them to a good and a large land, and a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites and the Amorites, the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And therefore, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children, out of Israel. Now, when Moses goes, Pharaoh does not easily agree. And that tells us that there are times that when we need to shift, don't think that it will be smooth. There is going to be resistance. Why? Because the enemy knows that if you move in your shift, then you might not be able to come back to that season where he wants to hold you captive. Now, if you can think of even all the plagues that were there in Egypt, all these were signs that God was showing the Israelites over the Egyptians, that they can know that God is the one that is delivering them. Remember, these are people who are held by a slave mindset. And so until they see something mighty, and also for the Egyptians, until they see judgment over their gods. Remember, like the Egyptians will worship the Nile. I mean, they worshiped the Nile. They had so much reverence. And that is why the first plague had to be on the Nile. It had to turn to blood. And then you can think of frogs, where the frogs come. Even eventually the dust turns to gnats. You can think of the flies. You can think of the livestock, dying. You can think of the boils. You can think of the hail. You can think of the locusts. You can think of darkness. But one of the things that you see is what I love to call the law of divine exemption. You see, when we are called by God, when God starts to shield us in moments of shifts, it tells us that things can be happening. There are things, troubles that can be happening, and God can decide to shield us. God can decide to exempt us. And that is where you find that certain laws don't apply to you. And this is something that you will learn, especially when you start to examine your life and see the life of favor that God has already shown you. You'll find that you have exemptions. You have exceptions to the rule. And that is to tell you that this is something that God does for his children, especially in significant shifts and supernatural shifts. And one of the greatest, the greatest time where we see that covering is actually the Passover night. And what we know is during the Passover is that God told the Israelites that you're going to slaughter, that sheep, and you're going to paint that blood. You're going to post that blood on your doorpost. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord is going to go through the night at midnight, and he will strike every firstborn of every house where there is no blood on the doorpost. So when the angel of death came that night and he will find a house where there is a doorpost with blood, then he will pass over that house. And that is where the Passover comes from. Now, that is also an exemption that happens. But also there is something that also happens in this supernatural shift, which is what we also call wealth transfer. Now, in Exodus chapter 12, and maybe I will read from verse 33. The Bible says, "And as the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, they said, 'We shall all be dead.' So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes and in their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of the Lord, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver or articles of gold and clothing, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. So they granted them what they requested, and they plundered the Egyptians." I'll tell you, something that you will see whenever shifts happen, whenever supernatural shifts happen, there's always those that will go up, and there will always be those that will go down. Now, it is for you to ask God and for mercy that God will give you favor, that even in such moments that there can be exemptions. And even when it looks like it's going down, God is using it as an opportunity to lift you up. Now, this is something that you will see, that the Egyptians thought that they were, you people just go and worship. But they did not realize that God had was using it as an opportunity to pay back the Israelites. Remember, they had been working for slaves for 430 years and without pay. So God said, you know what? These guys have mistreated you for all these years. Don't worry. You will go with a paycheck. And they make sure that they go with all the wealth of the Egyptians. What are some key learnings that we see here? We see that God had already purposed that the children of Israel would be in Egypt for 400 years as slaves. When it was time to deliver them, you see again, God raises a prophet. And why do I keep bringing up this issue of a prophet? Is because the Bible says, believe in the Lord your God and you will prosper, believe in his prophets and you will be established. And ideally, who is a prophet? A prophet is someone who brings us the word of God. So the most important thing is, do we hear the word of God? Are we in the place where we receive the word of God? And by as we hear the word of God, then we can sense and we can have a discernment or an understanding of what God is doing. And these things will come to you just like ideas. It will come to you as a thought that you cannot even point where it came from. That is when you know it is from God, because it is not something that you are thinking about. It is, you're just in the middle of prayer, you're in the middle of devotion, or you just wake up and it's the first thing that you hear in your spirit. Now that is God speaking to you and giving you insight. Why? Because at that point your soul is not crowded. Your thoughts are not crowded with, you know, with your phone and all that and WhatsApp messages. At that point, God knows that he can speak to you. The reason why God comes to people in dreams is because he knows that that is when their senses are down. That is when they can hear his voice. Now, the time of supernatural shift, as I said earlier, does not come without contention. Pharaoh was not ready to let the Israelites go just like that. Despite the plagues, his heart was hardened. I've also mentioned another thing, that in times of supernatural shifts, in times and seasons, the faithful, the discerning, the wise can have divine exemptions to the negative effects of the shift. And this is something that you can believe God, that, you know what, God, whenever this is happening, I will be an exemption. I will have an exception. Why? Because I am favored. I received the favor from you, and I am a child of God. I am a child of God, and you must know that God loves you. Now, another thing we can see is that I've also said that supernatural shifts are significant times of wealth transfer. The Egyptians became plundered, but the Israelites were favored and they increased in wealth. Then also another thing, it is very necessary to be obedient to every instruction of God. If any Israelite did not apply blood, then their firstborns will also have been killed by the angel of death. I will quickly just go over this, and this is something I'm sure you can read, and this is the siege in Samaria. And you can imagine it was so bad that two women agreed that let us eat our children. So one woman said that, you bring your son, let us boil him. And the Bible says they boiled him and ate him. There's not even oil to fry or to do what. They just boiled a child and ate him. And when the king heard that, the king tore his clothes. Why? Because there was a siege by the Syrians over Samaria. And you can imagine that they were even selling a donkey's head was being sold for 80 shekels of silver. Can you imagine how expensive a donkey's head was? But you see, Elisha makes a declaration, and that you can read in 2 Kings chapter 7. He says that, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seer of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and two seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. And then God orchestrates that shift by just using the unlikeliest of people. He uses lepers, just four lepers, who say to themselves, what will happen to us? If we stay here, we die. If we go there, they kill us. Either way, we die. But at least if we go there, there is a chance that they might not kill us and give us food. So what do they say? They say, let us go. And God makes that their movements sound like chariots. You can imagine these are crippled people with their legs, just legs and hands just knocking the ground. Pa, 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 pa. You know, and they're just going. You can imagine it feels like tortoise is walking. And as they walk, God magnified that sound. And they heard that these are Egyptians coming. These are all the kings of the Hittites coming. And they killed themselves. They fled. They killed themselves. And then these lepers come in. They enter one tent. They find food. They find gold. They eat. They drank. They find gold. You know, when between food and gold, food was more important. You can see how hungry they were. They ate first. They drank. And then they carried the silver. They went and hid it. You can imagine how much time it takes for lepers to find the gold and silver, hide it, go back, hide again. Then they said, no. This is wrong. This is not right. This is a day of good news. And if we remain silent until morning, some punishment will come on us. So they quickly went and told the king. What am I saying? God, through the prophetic word, is able to bring a shift in our times and seasons. And the more sure prophetic word is actually the word of God. I tell you, you can sit by the scriptures and God can shift your world. Why? Because you can see something in God that will determine a change in your life that you can never look back. I remember there was a time when I used to like depend on someone, and the first time I just called them on the phone, I was like, hey, I was just greeting you, and they're like, how much do you want? And that moment I just felt so much pain in my heart and said, God, how can I be known that when I call someone, the first thing they know is that how much do I want? And I told God, God, I never want to be an object of shame. And God took me to Joel chapter 2. And there's a verse there where it says that I am sending you new grain and new wine and new oil, enough to satisfy you fully. And it says, never again will I make you an object of scorn unto the nations. And that word shifted me. Why? Because it was a prophetic word that God made alive in that season. And I said, you know what? Never again will I be an object of shame, an object of scorn unto the nations. And such words can come to you and they can shift your season. And that's why I'm saying it's not necessarily, yes, it might come through a prophet, it might come through a man, but if you sit by the word of God, the Bible says there's a more sure prophetic word of God. I'll tell you, it's always hardest just before the shift. But thus, we must look to God in hard times for deliverance. God can turn around any situation and even use the unlikeliest of sources to bring our deliverance in such moments of supernatural shifts. But as the warning, as the servant of the king, you know, the officer who was leading by the king, he said, can this happen? Even if God were to open the windows of heaven. You see, when he brought God, then he was told, my friend, you will see it with your eyes. And the Bible tells us when people heard that news and when they ran, he was trampled on and he died. So unbelief and doubt can make us miss a breakthrough when the shift is available for all. There are many other examples for your further study. You can read about Noah's flood and the judgment on the earth. Noah preached for 150 years, yet no one heard him. He was telling people, water is going to come from up. That time, no rain had ever come from up. Water will come from the ground to water the ground. He sounded like a madman. Think of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Just a simple thing, that they're given an instruction, don't look back. And the wife of Lot looks back. Think of the return of the Israelites from exile in Babylon, Daniel chapter 9. The Bible says Daniel discovered by book that the desolation of Israel in Babylon was supposed to be 70 years. And when he discovered it when they were 68 years, 270. And he started to pray, and the Bible tells us that they went back at the 68th year, not the 70th. That means that there are times that God gives, he gives you an estimate. He can tell you, well, I think I'm going to bless you. I want to bless you now. But that blessing to God can be, it can be 5 years to you if you're not ready for it. But it can also be 5 minutes. If you pick it, you pay the price, you're sensitive for that moment, and you experience it. Think of the times and the ministries of John the Baptist and the Christ. And that's why Jesus tells the Pharisees, woe to you, you know how to read the signs, you know how to read the weather, but can you tell the hour of your visitation? They had no idea that the Messiah was walking with them. Think of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They were told, wait until the Holy Spirit comes, and ye shall be my witness. Think of the persecution of the disciples in Jerusalem. They were comfortable in Jerusalem. And then God brings persecution, and the Bible says all the disciples were scattered all abroad, and everywhere they went, they preached the word of God. Are there modern day shifts? I don't know. It depends on what you think. Some people can speak of the agrarian revolution, the American revolution, the industrial revolution, technological revolution, COVID-19, even AI can be considered a revolution. The question is, are the believers in the place where of influence, where they can take advantage of these shifts? Or God brought the awareness, brought it to those who are ready, and those who are ready were able to shift into them. In summary, what have we learned today? God is the author of supernatural shifts in times and seasons. He always desires to reveal his plans to his servants. As believers, such shifts should not catch us unawares. We must have understanding of times and seasons. The Bible tells us of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the time and knew what Israel ought to do. We need to be sensitive also to God's leading, especially when he drives us to the secret place, especially of prayer and fasting. When, you know, God, you know, at times we must not be doing things because it is, oh, it's the beginning of the year, that's when we all fast. But it can be in the middle of the year and God starts to move you. Why? Because your cycle might not be the same as someone's cycle. It is your responsibility to be sensitive to that leading and to allow God to use that for that moment. Number four, we must lean on God's wisdom to know what to do in times of supernatural shifts. We must lean on God's wisdom. That means don't depend on your own wisdom. Don't think that you know it, that you've done this before. When there are shifts, even the methods no longer work. Someone says that the day for a monkey to die, even the trees become slippery. The shifts happen that even your own old methods don't work. That is why you must lean on God's wisdom. And the last thing that I will say, as we apply this, is that we must adjust to the demands of the new season. When the season has shifted, it does not make sense to be walking with a vest in the winter. You will die. We must adjust to the demands of the new season. When there is a shift, adjust. Adjust to the demands, and I assure you that you will be able, by the grace of God, to overcome, because he is faithful to his word and is able to make sure that his children stand. So I think I'll stop here, and I pray that God has given us insight. And any reflections are welcome, questions, and as God places in your heart. You're welcome, people of God.